Thank you. So, Ayla, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh. Do you want to talk about lead us to walking in flow?
I would be happy to.
I was just having a moment of obvious resistance and no flow.
Okay, let's see. Doc, since you were first on, do you want to talk about over the period of 2 weeks, we had the same exit ritual and day greeting and ending, and it always seems to have, you know, more profound effects. So why don't you tell us what happened with you? I've noticed that people who have been studying magic for a while get a lot more powerful, and then their results are quicker too. So that's really great. A lot of energy through you magically.
Oh my God, look at your arm, man. I'm about 20 here.
Did it surprise you then?
Well, yeah, I mean, all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh, this stuff really works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Wait till you have someone's whole body lift off the table.
Oh, wow.
Yes, indeed, and it could well happen, too.
Well, that's
surprising. Right. Cool.
Great. How about you, Don?
I can feel the energy activated pretty perfect. And that was all the way down.
That's interesting that you say that, being present and in awareness. And so I experienced some of that too, going through the changes that I've been going through. So that's very interesting that you would say that. Because that's the only time that when the flow happens is now. You know, when you're experiencing, it's there's no past or future, it's now.
It's like that is what I'm
lost here.
Good. I have
a lot of fun. I'm not getting a lot of time. I got 7 getting
try to get off
the room and get on. Good. Oh, sounds like you guys had a great week.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, great couple weeks, yeah. How about you, Alan?
Well, one of the things I'm listening to you all talking and realizing, the seeing of a principle you all are so illustrating so well. Flow, everything in this universe moves. Flow is the force of motion throughout the universe. And when it enters us, at its highest level is desire. It initiates desire, or becomes desire, you could say. The kind of desire that allows us to create life force, to make choice, to use free will, use will, all of the functionings that we do, we're using this energy of movement, if you want to call it, or the dynamism of the universe, like a clock winding down or winding out energy. And as you all are pointing out, you can aim it however you want, and that's kind of our individuation of it. So I've been doing, like, the 2-week, what you all call a break, was a chance for me to actually not only do a lot of work on the courses that we're working with now, but the apprenticeship program is coming up and to start in a couple of weeks or so, and on the archetype course that's going to start in when this one ends, well, when the Freedom course ends. And so it was really useful to harness some of that energy and just have it. I mean, I don't know where it all comes from, in a sense, because I know when I look at something that I've got to create a whole course, and I have some vague ideas, and then somehow when it just starts pouring out, it's a mystery as to really how that takes place. But just what everybody is pointing out, it's like, when I bring the focus of my awareness down to one place, and then this energy of flow activates that, then there is a result. And so, I mean, it's really nice to hear how it works for you, Doc, and Don, and Ayla, and it's perhaps a little different for each of us, but it certainly does move us along.
Yeah, I was going to add a little bit to that, you know, I really resonated with something that you were saying, Don. I saw also where I was blocking as well. And I've been going through kind of a transformation in my life of where I'm putting my focus on creation. And when I do not put it, I was experiencing too, when I do not put it on the future desires, where I'm going in the future, my flow's blocked. And I notice it's sort of a, you know, it's a kind of a down to the left area. that is just blocked instead of up to the right. That's where I feel the direction in my attention. Anything that is forward moving and positive and very, very open to all kinds of possibilities and wonder is to the right of myself and things did not flow well when I was always in the past or thinking of repetitions of things that didn't work. And that's kind of a stale mentality thing there instead of a magical way. So I was I've been going through a lot of changes myself this past couple weeks over all areas of my life, and mainly around money producing work things, but in all areas of my life, because it affects everything, that I noticed when the flow is blocked, where my focus is, and when the flow is open, where my focus is. So it was very interesting. It's almost as if you can, well, it is when you can purposefully let the flow go and just flow through. So it was very interesting.
And is Sharon with us?
No.
And oh, I'm in a... Oh, sure. No, that's fine. So how was walking and flow for you? Okay. Oh, good. Right. Right. It is, and you see, that's why I told you all in the beginning that even though we go through this very quickly and we don't spend a lot of time in this course on, say, giving specific readings, but that if you take the trouble to sit down and do it with someone, it will benefit them. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, when we talk about wearing a card, that's what we're actually wanting to do. In other words, not just think about the card, but look for life situations that match it, so that you do build those kind of relationships that you're talking about. So, yeah, you're going to be a really good card reader if you stick with it. Absolutely. And that's, of course, that's the whole process that we talk about training our perceptics, is, and the more that you sort of tap into that, the more that you find that you can use it in any area of your life. Just like you said that it occurred to you at first that how could you possibly feel energy off a stack of cards? Because you know you can feel that off a human body, but you weren't as aware that, you know, three stacks of cards could give off different energies until you did it and you found that they do. So, and that's also the thing we talk about if we can suspend disbelief, then we can start to connect with these forces that may not logically always make sense, but experientially they do. So that's really fun. And for this coming week, we're doing Walking in Grace, which is, should be very appealing and comforting. And did Doc, have you gotten to do any readings this year? have you finished skiing a deck? Yeah. And shuffled it and all? So you might want to sort of get into that because we're going to do Sonic this week and then we're moving into spell work and the Tarot is how you verify or check your spell work. So, if you haven't done at least a couple of Celtic Cross and a couple of 12 cards, you might want to, so that you can, you know, check it with me for how to do the flow lines and how to, you know, while you have the chance. Cool. So, anybody else have any questions on readings? Ayla, anything that comes to you? Have you been doing any readings?
I haven't done any readings the past couple of weeks, but no, I don't have any questions.
Given some of the things that you've been kind of coming up in your life, sometimes it's useful to check that with a reading.
I guess that would be a good idea. I've been doing some other things, but as far as the class is concerned, yes, we could do a reading on that.
Or just, you know, on how your life in general is going.
Well, that's pretty evident. But yes, I think. Yeah, I can do two readings. I can do a basic Celtic, and then I can do a question reading on something that's transpiring and how I think it's funny right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's
transpiring the past few days.
Yeah, it's just while we're doing it, that way if you have any, you know, any questions about it, it's useful to, I mean, everybody has the opportunity to, you know, use me during this time, you know, while we're on it, so.
Well, I'll use away.
Yeah? And same with you, Don, if you have anything you want to read or do or check out your reading, keep your reading skills fresh, or...
Sure.
So, sonics. Probably could be easily a 30-week course in itself, and probably one of the significant contributions that Seven Arrows made to magic in terms of a lot of the work that was done with sonics, because you won't find much material on it, at least I have not, out and about. And it's a very significant form, part of our study, since sound of any form is energy, and it affects us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, the whole gamut. And even the sounds that we don't hear, the sub-audible, either above or below our hearing spectrum, they affect us as well. So there are what we call primary sonics, the energy that is produced in both the material and the psycho-spiritual aspects of the universe, and then there's the secondary sonics, which are those which we don't hear. But consider, for instance, if you live in the city, the background noise, you don't hear that unless you actually focus on it. But does it not affect? You go to the country and it's really quiet and you notice the difference. Well, there are a lot of sounds that we just sort of, you know, don't attend. We don't notice them, and yet they affect us. And of course, there are whole healing systems that use only, so it's a whole other form of magic in of itself. Now what we're going to do is to break sound into the four elements, air, fire, water, and earth. And just in a general sense, air, obviously, since air affects our hearing, it affects mostly the ears. Fire, primarily the nerves, nervous system. Remember that yellow, orange, and red, orange affect neural, and fire sounds affect neural. Water sounds impact muscles and our inner organs, entrails as sometimes called, and earth sounds affect our physical structure of the bones primarily. And then if you look on page 214 in your notes, there's a table of how all these sounds in much more detail. So your air sounds are soft, aspirated, H sound, you know, wind sounds, breathy sounds, relatively high in pitch, but not as high as fire. Eek! That's a fire sound. Whispering is an air sound. I'm sorry? Air, if you look at the table there, affects the skin and the ears, and then the mind, and then affects mind and thought processes. It's just, the key to that is just thinking about how, you know, the correspondences of air. So, you know, if you remember, clear air affects hearing and breathing and skin sensations or inner body sensations, all body sensations. and then white was mind, and outer blue was our understanding. So, if you're trying to understand something, and there's, say, a lot of wind blowing around you, have you ever noticed how distracting that is? You're trying to focus your mind. And also, air mediates fire. So if you're around a lot of activity, people that are active or hyperactive whisper, which is air, use of air energy sonically, and that will mediate, it'll bring people down really quickly. A nice way to do that is like if you're with a person that's sort of animated or overly animated and talking really fast and excitedly, and you sort of can't stop them, you know how sometimes you can't interject, you'd have to go way above them to do it, and it's hard to get there, just whisper. They'll stop immediately. So that's one you all can try. And then fire is like a siren. It's shrill, cutting, high in pitch, carries well over distance, cuts through other sounds, and affects the neural system, and of course grabs the attention. And on the spirit level, affects willpower, life force, temper. Like shrill sounds can bring anger up really easily. Water sounds are soft, caressing, rolling, flowing, stroking, comfortable, mid-range in pitch. They can put people to sleep. And may go unnoticed because of how alluring they are, how caressing. And they lack of stimulation to the neural system. They soothe the neural system. Affects all the soft tissues of the body. You people do massage, you notice that a lot of the music that people like to use for massage is watery. Even the flowing of water. Fountains are very popular. Yeah, have you noticed that a lot of people that do massage like to have fountains in their massage rooms? So, affects the glandular system, flexible tissues, and obviously the emotions. Earth, sort of drumming, thudding, vibrating, low in pitch, can even go down to where, you know, like those deep organ sounds, rumbling, does not carry well over a distance. Hard to hear with the ears, but you can feel it often. And not so easy to pinpoint as to where the directional source of. Affects the bones, skeletal structure, solid body parts, and our sense of certainty, stability, and beingness can be affected. So, Doc, what would you say rock music is, primarily, elementally, from this description so far? That's part of it. What else? Yeah, it's fire and earth. See, no mediators. Yeah, but the fact all sound travels through air. But there's just enough air, like you say, to hear it, to get it to you. But it's primarily fire and earth, which, that in itself tells you how it affects people the way it does. It's a motor, it moves things, but not necessarily comfortably, because it's agitated movement. So then the next thing is to consider that there's no, almost all sounds that we take in or register are elemental combinations. So you have a table then of the mixes, air and fire and air and water and so forth. So you might want to look at those. Now there's a lot of information in this that I'm not going to go over because you all can read it yourselves, some of the interesting facts and things like that. Because I really want to sort of work on some of the things that aren't as obvious in this. So go to page 216, Voices of Command. There's 8 different voices that we're going to study. And if you learn to use these and learn to perceive them in other people, not only will you be highly effective in the use of sonics with people for situations, because there's a trick to this. Remember we said that you can't really change another person's elemental balances without their permission. But the use of sonics is a way that you can. Because you see, you are only responsible for what you do to someone, say, directly. But your sonics affect them, obviously. I mean, you know that. You deal with a person who's using an angry voice or an irritated voice. And if you can feel it, you know, but they're not specifically direct. They're just radiating it out. And so, by the same token, you can use these voices to affect situations and other people for your intentions without breaking the rules of the road. Now, of course, one step beyond that, you can use sonics for self-defense. But that's a further extension of it. So, now the threefold rule of sonics is that, and why we do our exit whistles out loud rather than in our heads, and when we get to walking litanies and so forth, is because actual sonics affects mind, body, and spirit simultaneously. Whereas if you just think something, it affects only the mind. Now, as well, when you express yourself sonically, you are not only affecting you, but you're affecting the world around you, obviously. And then as the sound bounces off the world around you, it comes back to you, and so you get a secondary effect there too, or a third level effect. Now there's a secret to all of this. Where you put your focus and your attention will make a huge difference as to where the sonics that you use affects. Now this is, people don't know this and don't realize it. In other words, what I'm saying here is, if I say something and my focus of attention is primarily on myself, sonics are affecting primarily myself. On the other hand, if I say something and I am focusing on a target or another person or a group of people, those sonics are affecting out there, primarily, and less on me. So, have you ever noticed, like, people giving a lecture or something, and they don't make eye contact, and they're just looking at their notes the whole time? Doc, have you ever seen anybody do that? And do you notice that it's real hard to follow what they're talking about? They're not putting any, they're really telling themselves. Their sonics are all coming back to them. But you get a dynamic speaker who moves around, perhaps, you know, who doesn't even use notes, that makes lots of eye contact, and it's that eye contact that is sending those sonics out, and it impacts people. So, if you look at these different voices, they're not that difficult to do. It takes a little practice. And one of the exercises we're going to work on this week is listening to conversations that we had with people to hear what kind of voice are we using and what effect does that have? What kind of voice are other people using and what kind of effect? So you want to get familiar with these voices. So I'm going to primarily talk right now about how to do it rather than what it affects and the use of it, because that's a little more, that's easy to get. But how to do it is, it takes a little work. So your business and teaching voice, you all with me on page 217? Ayla, you and Don got it? Okay. So your business and teaching voice, mainly water. So it's sort of a medium and rolling with just a little fire to give it vitality so you don't put people to sleep, and enough earth to give it a foundation, mid-range. And you want to vary the pattern some, just to get some edge and then relax it and give a little edge and then relax it. Your intensity level a little above just your average, so that, you know, it keeps people just a little bit engaged. Now compare that with the friendliness voice. Mainly water. This is sort of like when you're with someone you're intimate or you really care about, and you sort of soften up, and it has a little more roll to it. It's, even to baby talk, that can even be a friendliness voice. Lower than the business and teaching voice, but not really low, not down there. Smooth flow. Softened or slightly husky tone, that's air. A relaxed level. But it has real variations to it, so that it kind of not only soothes, but it has interest. And then compare that, say, to an irritation voice. Do you hear the difference there? The fire in it, the edge. Pitch is a little higher. Choppy or jerky. You want to be pattern, can be changed, can be shrill or whiny. Sort of great thunder. It's almost like, you know, fingernails on the blackboard sort of thing. And it's meant to be uncomfortable. That's the whole point of it. Now, that's not the same as an anger voice. That would be like rock music, high and siren earth in equal parts, but just enough water to add steam. That's where you're either shouting or you're really angry, and it really affects the whole physical, you know, the bones, everything. People want to get out of your way. Variations are very abrupt there. Fear voice, high in air, whiny or nasal tones with a slight whisper. That's like, think of a person that's just been scared and they're telling you what it was all about. And they're talking, you know, they're up there, they're on the edge. It's uncomfortable, but it does not cause you to, it's not, it doesn't make, see, the anger voice creates anger. That really transmits that. Fear voice is not. It's uncomfortable, but it makes you kind of want to get away a little bit from the person, but it does not produce anger. Motion voice is just really startling. That's when you run. That's when you, it's like, it just moves you. Fire and water. And of course, the opposite being the stillness voice that stops you. Now, if you want to, think about funny things, it's like, how about, like, if you want to get someone to stop, but you use a high fire voice, stop! You see how the impulse of that is totally opposite from the meaning? Stop. So you bring it down there, and it really halts. Of water and earth. Calmness voice, like how would you talk to someone that had just been really panicked or upset? It's okay. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. Water and earth. Some air. Stretch it out. So, questions on any of these voices? Ayla, any questions you have? Have you practiced any of these voices?
No questions.
Have you been practicing them?
No, I have not.
You might consider that, given particularly some of the things that you've talked about the diversity of people you deal with.
Yes, I was thinking about that as, you know, we were going along in the book, and it's been a little while since I've really done some focused work on sonic. So, also I noticed it. I don't tend to usually use it to instruct or calm people down anymore. I was using it a lot, you know, especially when I was looking with my sister. as you know. But, yes, I that would be very good. I'm going to be having quite a few opportunities to use sonics in the next couple of days.
Cool.
So, thank you.
Yeah. Don, have you had a chance to use any sonics in your work? Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, you know, if you really want to play with people's heads, tell them something where your words, the meaning, is totally different from the sonics you use.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And then you do it with humans, and they have no... I mean, if you really want to... That's another form of self-defense.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a real distractive.
Yeah, you know, having things on the square.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Doc, what kind of things come up for you? I mean, you certainly deal with a lot of people in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. So, are these different voices potentially helpful as a further refinement of that? Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, this just gives you a little more, like, Yeah, it just gives a little more of a kind of a little more organized way of doing it and trying the different voices. You know, a tape recorder is a good way, or with you and Annette, or with any partner, is trying the different voices with one another to see how it affects us, you know? Annette, are you on? Is what kind of things does this bring up for you? You deal with a lot of people too. Right? Exactly. And I'd be a little careful with an unqualified stop, because that can actually stop a person's heart, if you use the right sonics. That's one of the self-defense techniques. But stop now. In other words, if you qualify it, it takes that force out of it. Because you... Which, of course, brings us to words with power, because individual words can be either used just for their sonic force or their meaning or both. And since in English, stop as an unqualified with, if you direct it at somebody, say with high fire sonics, that's where you can stop their heart. Yeah, I understand, because the stillness or the stop, the stillness voice is water, earth. And that doesn't have the same effect because you're not affecting the neural system, right? But that's what I'm saying, like, can you imagine how confusing it would be energetically if we gave a stop that to someone in a high fire voice, like, stop that! You know, it's like, whoa, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's sort of fun to practice the different voices so that you have a range. Exactly. And then you just get to see how they affect, you know, and like I say, it's a really nice way to begin to affect situations. I won't say manipulate or control, but just to affect situations. And when it comes to words of power, this is where you can actually create energetically words other than, say, our types of four-letter words or words that are sort of meaning-loaded in our language. It's far more useful to create words that sonically change the energies in your favor. What I mean by that is, if you don't want someone to push you around, use earth words. Fine. They won't be able to do it. On the other hand, if you're trying to lift something or somebody that is, say, difficult, and you create air sounds, air words and air sounds, try this out, because you can really move things a heck of a lot easier. Win a contract. Oh, you're dealing with a person communicating? Well, I would vary it between the business teaching and friendliness. Because if you go too much to the friendliness, it's too intimate. But if you stay only in the business teaching, it's sort of like it feels manipulative. Whereas a business teaching voice is fine when you're teaching somebody. But if in a, like, where you are, the whole thing is that you want to present yourself in as honestly and sincerely as you can. And so you want to work both on mind and feelings together. And that's why I would say I would go sort of between those two. Does that make sense? Yeah, just practice the business teaching voice. Like if you were, you know, how you would teach someone, and then practice the feminist voice, how you talk to somebody that you really care about and you really like and so forth. And then what I'm saying is to go between the two, not halfway between. I don't mean that. I mean use some of one and some of the other. For some of your presentation, you want to be up there in the business teaching, and then some of it, you want to drop down to friendliness. It's simply sort of like if somebody, you know, they're telling you about themselves and about the opportunity, and then they start asking you about you, and you notice when they do that, they'll change to a much more intimate voice. Yeah. Okay, now, this part is really important, the sonic alphabet. If you get this, you can analyze any sound, any word, your name, anybody's name, and you really will begin to understand how the elemental components work. It's just even in our name. Like Nanette. Nanette, what elements do you think are in your own name? Correct. Right. And then you get the earth again. And then you get fire. And then with the Nanette, you get some air. And some earth. No war. So it begins earth and then goes to fire or air, fire, and that. There might be a little war there if you dragged it out, but not really. It's more fire. Earth, fire, earth. Air, fire, or fire, air, earth. Yeah, did you hit the T? Partly air, partly earth. Yeah, let's see what they say on here. Here it says air and fire. I would say air and fire. Yeah, it's not down enough for earth. I would agree with that. Death would be earth. Death is air, fire, right. And that, yeah, because you don't really hit it that hard. Right, earth, fire, air. And there. Yeah. Doc, what would you say Doc is? Sonic. Yes. I do that. Even if you didn't look, what does it sound like to you? Mm-hmm. Take it letter by letter. It's the only way you can do it. You have to take every sound. Duh, what's that? Yeah, it is. And then, that would be more like H, well not, the sound of H. Ha, that would be air. What are those? You got it. What's the k? Yes. Aaron's some fire. So, Doc is earth, water, air with a little fire. Ayla, what would that be?
Well, I already know what it is because I have it. Ayla is, the long A actually is mostly fire, but everything else is water and air.
Right. Right. So fire, water, air. Or
It's got a lot of water and a lot of, it's got a lot of water in it.
Yeah.
But it's backed by the fire or fire leading it, carried by air.
Right. And you picked it to have that?
Yes, I did. And also with my last name, it is mainly earth and fire with a lot of water as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it has all four elements.
Sure. And Don, what would that be?
Okay. I'm finding out that was wrong.
Well. So now what you all can think of in terms of your name or anybody's name is how the elements work with one another. In other words, water moves earth. So if you have a name that has water and then earth, that's what you've got. You've got water moving earth. If you've got a name that has earth and then water, earth holds water. You've got then earth holding water. And so forth and so on. Not only can you look at anybody's name, but you can look at any words that we typically use and see what are the elemental mixes that we're using. Is that intentional? Because but they also define things. Right. And they can, but it also, like a mission statement, can define something. Well, you see, but the very act, not necessarily. It may put an end to it, meaning a purpose. You see, the whole process of studying magic is to put limiters on things. When you have something that is unlimited, it is also not controllable. Just as a thought. I mean, I'm not telling you should have a name for your dojo. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I'm just talking now about what are the different outcomes from any conclusion. The fact that you did a come along, what did you do? You put limitations and directions on something, correct? Oh, okay. But your business has a name, but your dojo does not. Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. so you can actually see what your whole mental components are there. Sure. Cool. So that's sort of then, in a sense, your mission statement is in your name. Right. And that's really good. That's very useful. And then, just for kicks, you might like map out the elements in the name and see, you know, what kind of energies does that create? Oh, really?
Yeah, we did that originally because the A, B is really good on the surface, you know.
Sure, sure. Now, this does not just have to be to hurt somebody. In other words, it can be any kind of self-defense. It can be just like any form of martial arts to divert energy. And like we learned in half-shielding or any of those things, you can either scatter energy or you can consolidate and send energy back. So there are many ways that you can consider this. Now, if you're going to take somebody down, so to speak, then you want to consider the self-defense rule, which is, like we've studied before, in cases of direct and violent personal harm, you're entitled to defend yourself by any means available, provided you did nothing to encourage or provoke the attack. Okay, and that's the extreme situation. And then you can do what thou wilt. You know, if you want to aim a stop right at somebody's heart, and you can also use your hand to project that too, just like message sending. Just like we did with the wand or any form of message sending, you can use your hand as though it were an asami if you want even more energy. But less violent than that, as we were mentioning before, you can confuse not just an assailant, an irritating opponent by giving them sonics which are unusual for the situation or sonics that do not match the words that you're using. Or if you identify the sonics which they typically are using and you use totally different sonics, that is also very disempowering to them. Think about it. Mostly what people do is they tend to match what the other person's sonics are. And that always escalates. So it could be far more effective to go the opposite end of the spectrum. If they whisper, shout. If they shout, whisper. If they're using the business teaching voice, use the stillness voice. Please.
Thank you.
That was a stillness voice. Banished her. She was a controller, and you stopped her controlling ability. She had mantle. Yeah, that's the way sonics works. And you reminded me of a story from years ago when I was living with a lady from New York in Boulder, and her brother, her younger brother, came out to visit, and he had never left New York City before. And we went to a movie theater, and the three of us wanted to sit together, but it was crowded, and there was room for three of us, but not all together unless we asked somebody to move. And I started in my politeness to ask these people, I was about to ask them, as we would explain, we wanted to sit together and stuff, but Tommy, your brother, in typical New York fashion, always says, move over. And they moved really fast. It was so direct, you know, and I was so amused. I thought, you know, that's the difference. Sonic energy.
Yeah.
That's fitting. Okay, so some of these explorations will help you get this really, really well. Like the first one, which says select some momentary sound. Sounds are around us all the time. So just take sounds that, like a door shutting or something dropping, and just see what part of your body did it affect, where in you did. In other words, what did it affect you mentally, emotionally, how, and what were the elements? What were the elements there? You know, and at first it'll seem a little nebulous, but if you do it all day, it'll start getting real clear what those elements. And then the next exercise, you all have learned how to do boxes, how to change your balance, how to use dragon's breath, all these different things. So take a sound that happens. Don't just assume. Know what, find out what element was that. And it's so easy to say, oh, it didn't affect me. Don't assume that. If it was fire, get rid of some fire and see what happens. If it was air, get rid of some air. If it was earth, get rid of. In other words, if it impacted you, if you think it impacted you, and see. See how that, because we assume that things don't affect us, but things are affecting us all the time. Yeah. Of a slamming door. Remember, fire is shrill. You know, like ee, or fingers scratching on a blackboard. So what it would seem like a thud like that. Right? Well, just because it's loud doesn't tell us what element it is. It's probably earth. Yeah. Right, right. And you see, that's the thing, Nanette, it's like not everybody is affected the same by sonnets. You know, and some people, earth sonics affect, some people fire sonics affect, some people air sonics affect, some people water, you know what I mean? When I say affects, they all affect us. But I mean, they, yeah, right, right. And that's why I'm saying it's really interesting to take any sound and see if you can identify the element it is and then get rid of, say, a box worth of that element. You know, what, you know, any, the color that seems most likely, and see how that makes you feel, because our assumption is, oh, I can handle it, or I'm okay, you know what I mean? But sounds are impacting us and changing us all the time. We're just not aware of it. So it begins to be more in your awareness. And a lot of times, you know, we come home from work or from out and about, and we don't feel so great. But we don't, you know, what is it? It could simply be the sonic that we've been exposed to, even sometimes just the background sonics. Or maybe you were, I mean, I'm sure that you have clients that grate on your nerves when they speak, or maybe you're lucky and you don't. So, that, and so you say you're immune to sound? Oh, you're not. Well, but maybe not so, because you say that your voice pattern tends to be more in the water bands, right? And so earth and water are very compatible, are they not? You like drumming, don't you? Okay. Which is, generally speaking, it can have fire, you know, if it's a high drum. But the effect, generally, is earth. You know? And so, it's very possible that your whole system is more accommodated to water and earth sounds. And perhaps fire and air sounds might not be as comfortable for you. And Doc may be, you know, perhaps his, say, range that he likes. It could be more air, fire, water. And maybe earth isn't as, I don't know. What kind of instruments do you like, Doc? Okay. Does that tell us something? Okay. Yeah. So not so much in the drum stuff, not in the bass guitar, drum, because flute is primarily air fire, right? Yeah. So the other exercise is really, really fun is number 6. And you can either do it in memory or while you're having a conversation is even better, or listening to somebody else's. It says select a short conversation you have with someone and to remember clearly. Analyze your voice and the other person's voice according to the, you know, pitch, timbre, intensity, pattern, and effects, and so forth. It's really nice if you can remember to do it while you're having the conversation. Or another thing is to go out, if you're at a restaurant, just focus in on different people's conversations and see where their ranges are and see how it affects, how it's affecting the group that they're in, you know. I mean, it's just kind of fun to do. Also, you notice, like, if there's alcohol involved, how sonics shift very rapidly the more that people drink. And so you see how, like, noisy bars get and stuff, you know, and the sonics, they get more intense. So there's a lot of things that we can find out in regards to this. Yeah. Right. How deep are those? So most of them are pretty high. Oh, that's real low. Okay, I didn't realize you had that. They most of the forks I've seen are pretty high. That's cool. Do they go up to the high tones too?
Yeah.
Sure. So you said thinking in terms of what are the elements in each of those?
Yeah,
because you can tell where you're affecting. Irregardless of the chakra, you can affect any part of the body.
Exactly.
Right.
With that element, yeah, that's
exactly
the point. And different
yeah, that'd be a great way to expand. Yeah, you'd be right up there with the Navajo healing singers or sonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the African traditions, they use a lot of metal shakers and things that are almost primarily fire. Those aren't the ones that you hold in your hands, are they?
Yeah.
That you shake?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have sets of those. Yep. Cool. Yeah? Well, it depends, because you have to, if it's sharp, it's probably fire and earth, both. Because if it has any solidity to it, it's got an earth component. If it were just fire, it would be kind of like, I'm trying to think what that would, how, you know, like, oh, when a smoke alarm goes off, if it just for an instant made that sound, that would be fire. And the suddenness, if it's sharp, would be. But the impact is also earth. I can't quite hear you. Yeah. If it, well, let's put it this way. If it affects you neurally, it's fire. And if it affects you neurally and skeletally, it's fire and earth. And of course, practicing the voice of the command, as I said, can be very useful. Either a tape recorder is a real good way. So that's any other questions about the sonics or the use of sonics? Anybody? If not, then we're done. But we are now shifting into the final part of the course, which is spell work. And, of course, whenever you say a spell, you're using sonics. And then we use the tarot to test what we're going to do. So that's what's up for us. And I think next week we're going to be discussing directors and limiters. Alrighty. Thank you all. It was lovely.
Hi.
Hi.
Good night.